engaging God, we're still on the pathway of relationship. God wants intimacy with us. He wants that intimacy to go deeper. It flows from the outside, from heaven into our spirit and then out to the world around us. And therefore, in what we're doing right now in these sessions, it's really looking for a deeper relationship and areas within our heart that God wants us to go deeper in. We've looked at various different things, and we're on the four chambers of the heart, the gateways of spirit, soul, and body, and how everything flows from the inside out. We have God in his glory and his presence on the inside of us. As we open first love, that flows out through, so that we can engage the world, ourselves, from a relationship with God. Everything that we've learned before we had God's presence on the inside came from the outside in. So we learned from the world to interpret ourselves. But when we have a relationship with God and God's within our spirit, then we become God-conscious, then self-conscious in a flow of our God-consciousness, and then we become world-consciousness from the perspective of God's understanding of it, not our past. So we reinterpret how we see the world and how we experience things because we get revelation and it flows from the inside out. So really God's desire is that everything flows as we have a relationship with Jesus, being yoked to Jesus and being discipled by him, as we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and the river of life, and as God is enthroned on in our spirit, then everything can flow from the inside out because our spirit gates become open. We've actually looked and seen that we have to deal with familiar spirits and things that block that flow, and we dealt with that as we looked in the gateways. So dealing with those familiar spirits that sit outside of our spirit, trying to hinder the spirit gates being open and flowing, and also those familiar spirits that operate in our soul, in our conscience, imagination, reason, choice, all those areas. And there's a flow of the river of life that comes through the garden of our heart, outside of our spirit, within our soul, to enable us to bring that flow and to get a deeper intimacy with God in it. So we looked at Ketubah, the marriage contract, and how everything relating to these four areas is to do with the Hebrew understanding of marriage and intimacy, and God calls us to have that relationship. And the first aspect of that is the garden, where God wants to engage us in a deeper relationship. And the whole Hebrew word lakar was, I want you for my own. The first aspect of any relationship, you establish the relationship, and God established that relationship by sending Jesus, because Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with God. So God could say, I want to restore mankind in intimacy. So we're looking today at preparing the heart. We looked mostly last week at what the heart is and what it does, both from a physical perspective and a spiritual one. We're looking today at preparing our heart. How do we prepare our heart for fruitfulness? So our heart is really the very core where soul and spirit are joined in a secret place of intimacy. It's where the very essence of who we are, our personality, our redemptive gift, can come into union with our spirit. So everything becomes one. So God wants to restore us and restore the image of how we see ourselves so that we're conformed to the sum of his thoughts. That's revealed to our spirit in eternity, and in intimacy it can be re-revealed to us today so that we can catch up with what we already knew from an eternal perspective. So what is in our heart will determine how we live. Our heart motivates and directs our lives. Our heart contains the programming that triggers our reactions and responses. What's in our heart has essentially come from the world, from nature, nurture, and trauma. And that is where our problem lies, because that is programmed how we think and how we feel and how we react. And if we don't change that programming, we'll keep on doing what we've always done and keep on getting the same results, which generally are negative. So God wants to restore us to the truth, which can change the results in our life. So originally, with Adam and Eve, it was God's breath, the breath of life, God's word, that programmed their hearts. And God wants to bring that back, so his word actually programs our thinking, our emotions, and everything else, so that we can see it from the perspective of truth, not lies. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And once we get born again, we have the capacity to be that living being, but we need God's breath. Now, his breath, spirit, is in us, but we need to see it begin to change us and transform us. So God's word, his breath, contains life, but it needs to be sown into our heart so that that life can produce fruit. Genesis 1:28 is the word that God spoke and breathed into them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. So God gave Adam a garden. It was on earth, so it would reflect Eden, God's heavenly garden. God always designed earth to be like heaven, but he gave man the responsibility for making earth like heaven. And that's a great responsibility. And then God walked with Adam in those gardens, both of them, because Adam had access to God's garden in heaven as well as the earthly garden. So our heart is really designed to reflect our spirit and heaven to be gardens where God can walk with us today. So we need to reestablish that relationship and that connection. So our heart is designed to be fruitful. It's supposed to be cultivated and growing and have life within it. Our heart is designed to multiply and expand and grow. It's not supposed to stay the same. Our heart is designed to be filled, filled with good things. That's God's intention. It was always intention. But the enemy obviously wants to fill us with bad things, because that draws us along the wrong path. So our heart, like a garden, has soil, which needs preparing. If any of you are gardeners, then you know you can't just throw seeds on the ground without preparing the soil and expect a really good harvest. So you have to prepare the soil of your heart if you want to produce a harvest of fruit, just like in a normal garden. So we need to prepare the soil of our heart for fruitfulness. Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, you could say the breath of life spoken to us, does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, because it's been sown, what is in his heart. So God sows the word, but the enemy's desire is to snatch it away, to stop it producing fruit. And he'll do whatever he can to try and do that. That means it may deal with the soil and have the soil which is not conducive for fruitfulness. So the living word of God needs to be sown into good, fertile soil in our heart for it to produce the life that it contains. And without that, we're subject to everything that's been sown there from the outside. So our heart's garden, created to reflect our image as a son of God. That's our eternal destiny and our eternal relationship with God. He created us to be a son, and our heart needs to reflect that. So sonship is what we're looking to cultivate within our heart, the relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, so that we come into the fullness of sonship. So eternity and time converge in the union of soul and spirit. Our spirit came from eternity. Our soul is born into time, and we need to bring those two together to have eternity in our hearts fulfilled. So we need to tend the garden to reflect that heavenly spiritual identity that we've been given, so that our redemptive gift identity and our spiritual identity come together in unison. Then we can fully be a son of God manifested on the earth to answer creation's groan and to bring restoration of all things. So our heart needs to be in good condition if it's going to be a source of life. That's why we need to guard it, protect it, and make sure we're aware of what's in it. So our heart usually has soil, which is a seedbed of insecurity. Now that's been programmed by our nature, nurture, trauma experiences, and therefore it has it's easier for it to receive negative things than positive things. Jesus described four types of soil in the heart. We need the right type of soil, so it needs to be conditioned and fertile to produce truth and life. Negativity, weeds, grow anywhere. You know, they don't really need that much good soil. In fact, some of them prefer actually to grow in negative conditions. So in the garden, some plants like acid soil, like camellias and various things like rhododendrons, various things. Some like alkaline soil, some just like neutral soil. Now, most plants can tolerate or adapt, but they don't necessarily thrive or in the best condition if they're not in the right sort of soil. Lies thrive in insecure soil and truth does not, which is why so many people struggle to believe the truth even when they hear it, because the soil is not conducive to it producing fruit. Whereas they hear lies and they believe it, you know, because it's been fed and fed and fed. So the soil of the heart produces lies like weeds. Truth thrives in secure soil. Lies do not. Lies don't thrive in a secure soil of our heart. So conditioning the soil will determine what seeds get sown and how they produce fruit. So we need to prepare our hearts. Now, this is the parable of the sower, what Jesus talked about, those four soils. Matthew 13, 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes, snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whose seed was sown by the side of the road. So in other words, that was a hard heart with compacted soil. So when you throw seeds on hard, compacted soil, they find it very difficult to put roots down. So generally, that's when the birds can come and peck them and take them away, because they're just sat on the surface, because they cannot penetrate the soil. Hard hearts. Matthew 13:20, the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places is the man who hears the word of God, immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. That's indicative of a heart with negative programs making that stony soil. So when God's word comes and it's received, oh, that's wonderful, it can't come down because the lies and the negative memories and emotions within the heart stop it taking root, because they compete with the seed. Verse 22, the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. An anxious, worried heart creating a weedy soil, which choke out the word. Now, often, you know, as I said, weeds thrive, and when they have weeds within the plants, often they choke out the plants, take its light, take all its nutrients, so it doesn't grow very well. So people hear the word of God, but because their hearts are not trusting God for the needs of their life to be met, then they look for other circumstances and they worry or fret. Verse 23, and the one whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit, brings forth some 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. That's a heart with good, fertile soil where truth thrives. And God desires our heart to be like that. But we have to prepare it, cultivate it, get rid of the stones, the weeds, the hard areas. It's actually quite difficult to break up hard, compacted soil. You've got to put some effort in. When you get rid of stones, you know, you have to dig them out, rake it, rake the soil, get the soil to a fine thing. Weeds, sometimes weeds put down roots which are really, really deep. And you can't just chop off the top of the weeds and leave the roots in the soil, because they just regrow. Dandelions are a classic example of that. You have to get the taproot out, because there are different sorts of roots that plants have. Some have fibrous roots, which are tiny little roots, and others put a taproot, one major root, right down. And negative seeds tend to put down taproots. So they put down deep roots, which are difficult to get out, but not impossible if we know how. So what is the soil of our heart like? We have to ask ourselves the question. If you don't ask yourself the question, then you'll never find out the answer. And most of us just drift through life, never really asking, actually, why do I think like this, feel like this? Why do I react like that? Why do I respond like that? God wants us to reflect. So are there any areas that are hard? Are there any hard areas in our heart? Are there any areas that are filled with stones, bad memories, fear, trauma? Are there any wrong seeds that have been sown into our heart? Are there any roots from a wrong source? Are there poisonous fruits that grow? We have to ask those questions, and God will show us the answers if we're willing to be proactive about it. So, thinking of a particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree or pathway was produced through Satan's rejecting of God's sovereignty and wanting to be like God, and then offering Adam and Eve the same choice to rebel. So it's the pathway of, and source of all self and humanism. Therefore, any independence we can do it without God comes from that source. All roots from Satan's trade, and what he did is he offered us a shortcut. You can be like God without God, which we can't. Independence always comes from that fruit and that tree. So in our own lives, we may have lots of fruit, things that people see on the surface, our behaviors. Below that, there are roots. So some of those fruits, rejection, anger, fear, anxiety, addiction, depression, sickness, insecurity, low self-esteem, worry, and you could add hundreds of others, they are there because there is a root system in the soil. That root system may have many different sources. We have to find out what sort of roots they are, what sort of sources, but they all came from one thing, a seed. Nothing grows without a seed initially, or some sort of reproductive way of multiplying. So we need to find out what that is, what seed was sown into our hearts that's produced roots and then has produced fruits. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." You see, our roots of bitterness that causes a springing up of all those fruits defile people. When we're angry or insecure or rejected and other things, they don't just affect our lives, they affect everyone around us. And people can eat that fruit, if you like, and taste and see that actually it's not good. So we need the right sort of fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, and all the godly attributes of who God is and God's desire that we will be like him. So the soil of insecurity, seeds of offense, roots of bitterness, fruits of resentment. Now, Deb's been obviously teaching this in Forgive and Release. And I'm going to touch on that just to give an illustration of how this works. So the soil of insecurity, that insecure heart, comes through our upbringing usually, and sometimes can be generational, but it's through lack of love, lack of acceptance, affirmation, approval, or encouragement. So we lack something good sown into our lives. So we don't know positive things about ourselves. The seeds of offense that come into that soil are things that are said or done, or things not said or done, sins committed against us. And those things are seeds that are sown. If we have insecure soil, then it's easy to accept those things and take them on, and then they produce roots. The roots of bitterness are things you think or you feel, your responses, emotions, and attitudes as a result of the seeds that are sown, as a result of the fact that you have insecure soil. And the fruits are the things you say and you do, your resulting behavior. And, you know, I'm not going to go into it in detail today, but in the transformation series, I go through lots of examples. So we have our heart, insecure soil, that results from those things, a lack of good fertilization, if you like. So a heart, seed of offense, causes emotion. Offense has to cause emotion. You won't be offended if it doesn't touch your emotions. When you feel anger or you feel various emotions attached to what was sown, it may be unfair. You may feel, oh, that wasn't fair. Why did someone say that? You may feel betrayed or let down or disappointed. All those are emotions that are as a result of the seed that's been sown. It's usually people who say or don't say or do and don't do. You know, we may be let down, we may be hurt, all those type of things. So we have that seed. Now, if you get rid of that seed, nothing's going to happen. If you don't get rid of that seed, it will produce roots of bitterness. It's guaranteed because seeds are designed to produce life. Now, in this sense, roots of bitterness produce death. That affects our will if it's sown into our heart, the subconscious mind. So the memories of those things are there because that seed of offense is continually there. And when something comes along and reminds us of it, we often feel the same emotions. And we remember the person who did it. And we can feel angry all over again. And it may have been something that happened 50 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 10 years ago. And yet, our button gets pushed, and immediately we feel and respond the same way. Because it's sown in our heart and programs our thinking and our responses and our reactions. So that really is our emotions and our feelings and our attitude that develop within us. And they become patterns in our lives. So then we have the fruit of resentment. If you have roots within the soil, it will produce fruit. It's guaranteed. And you can keep trying cutting off that fruit, but if there are roots are still there, it will keep coming back. That becomes attached to our reason, our thinking, and are the filters that filter everything we have in life. We see through colored filters, and they're usually bitterness colored, if there are seeds of offense and roots of bitterness in us. So we can see the world in a tainted way, and that affects how we deal with people, how we live, how we feel about ourselves, because that fruit of resentment is there, and that's how it leads to our choices. We choose and make decisions based on those things in our lives. And sometimes they're automatic. We just respond and we say things and we do things in an automatic way because it's programmed. And we're so used to doing it, it's just how we live. And that is our behavior. And that's what people see. And people see the fruit of what's gone on in our lives. If it's good fruit, great. People will see a reflection of God's image in us. If it's bad fruit, they'll see something that either they don't like or that they'll birds of a feather flock together, because people who have similar attitudes and behaviors actually hang out with each other. You know, miserable people like miserable people. That's what happens. You know, so we need to deal with those things. So we can keep cutting off the fruit, and that's what we try and do. You go through therapy, you have all sorts of things, and you keep trying to deal with the fruit. You keep repenting, you want to change, you don't want to do the same things, but you just do. It just happens over and over again. So it just grows back, and then you chop it off, and it grows back. And you try something else to deal with your behaviors, and it just comes back. Temporarily, you get rid of it, but because the root's still there, it comes back. You can try getting rid of the roots. You say, oh yeah, I'm not going to try and deal with the fruit anymore. What are the roots in my life? And you can look at the roots, and you can deal with the roots, and you can repent of bitterness, and you can deal with that. But if the seed is still there, the roots will stand back, often bigger. And then fruit will come back again. So the key is you have to deal with the seed. And if you deal with the seed, there's no roots can be formed, and you can get rid of the fruit, and there's nothing left to come back. So we need to deal with that. Now then you can look at it. How do you deal with it? Forgive and release. You forgive the offenses, and you forgive the fact that that's produced roots, and you forgive the fact that that's produced resentment and fruits in your life. You deal with the whole package, not just, well, I say I forgive. You have to forgive from your heart, as it says in Matthew 18. When you forgive from your heart, then you actually remove the seed of offense, and there are no possibility of roots going back and fruit coming up. So get rid of it. Repent of the bitterness. If you have had bitter roots, you have to repent of it. You have to renounce that fruit of resentment. So renounce the fruit. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to have this way of thinking, this way of speaking, this way of behaving. So I renounce that. And then you can have good seeds sown into your life. It's so difficult to receive good seeds when you have negative ones, because it's so easy to believe lies, because you've lived with lies all your life. So when the truth comes, it confronts the lies, and there's a wrestling match that goes on. If you remove the lies, then the truth can actually be established. And God wants the heart of security. He wants us to know we're accepted and loved and affirmed and approved of, that we have purpose and in Him a relationship. If we keep looking to the world to provide those things, we'll keep getting hurt and we'll keep getting damaged and we'll keep getting seeds in there and we'll keep getting roots and fruits. Because the world is designed to do that. Everyone lets us down. Now, once you know God's love, then it's easier to forgive people who let you down and not let it affect you, because you know ultimately God loves you and God affirms you and God accepts you. If you're looking for affirmation from men, if you're looking for approval from men, you may get some, but Jesus said, you'll get it here, but it'll have no eternal value. So look for something which is going to produce good fruit for an eternal sense. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. So if we're looking for earthly treasure, then our heart will be fixed in earthly things. If we're looking for heavenly treasure, then we'll have a focus that, in our heart, which will bring heavenly truth. So we need to have good roots, good things that are producing blessing in our lives, so that we can have fruits of righteousness, the peaceable fruits of righteousness, that which brings us into peace and joy and love and everything else. So it's important to give ourselves the time and space for reflection. If we don't give ourselves any space, then we won't ask ourselves the question. 1 Corinthians 10:28 says, examine yourselves. You have to do a soil test to find out what sort of soil there is in the garden. You know, you can do that by filling up a jar of water and putting soil in it, and you'll see what comes out, and you'll see the amount of sand, you'll see the amount of clay, you'll see the amount of different things, how many stones there are in there, and it gives you a good idea of what things. You can go further than that, and you can do a pH test and test what the acidity is of the soil. You can find out various things by testing it. We need to examine ourselves to find out what sort of soil we've got. 1 Corinthians 11:13 says, judge yourselves. Look to see, is this good or is this bad? That's what God wants us to establish. Good soil produces good fruits. Now, we can be open and transparent with God because He loves us. Or can we? When some of the problems are, we may not trust God because of the things that are in our hearts. So we may avoid being open and honest with God, because if we think He knows what we're really like, as if He doesn't anyway, then we avoid being open and honest because we think, oh, well, He'll reject me. He'll punish me. What will He think? Or what will other people think? You know, if we avoid dealing with things in our lives because of what other people think through fear and the fear of man, then that will create a problem. So we need to be open and honest. If we are, God will reveal our hearts. He will show us if we're proactive enough to ask. We need to ask and we need to seek, and He will unveil and show us what's in our hearts. Psalm 139:23. You know, a prayer we've used over and over again. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any hurtful, idolatrous, or wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way, my eternal destiny. So ask God, so that He already knows your heart, but He can reveal what He knows to you. Put me on trial. This is why we have a court system, a trial where we can find out whether there are anxious thoughts which give the enemy access to our lives. And we can do that through various things. We can do that through a court case. We can do that through lie busting. There are various ministry things that we can do to actually sort these things out. But are we willing to pray that prayer? And are we willing to honestly ask God to show us the state of our hearts so that we can be free, healed, restored, and made whole? Now, we've done lots of teaching on this. You know, we have this trauma to transformation diagram and this helping us renew our mind and restore our soul. So we can look at, well, what's in our hearts? Are there weeds? Are there memories? Are there motives in there? Are there those hard, stony areas? We can see that if we replay events and if we meditate on negative things, those negative things get stored in our heart, which is why it's so important to forgive people immediately. Don't replay it over your mind and think about, well, I should have said this and I should have said that, and get more and more angry, because all that does is sow it into your heart, because meditation is what sows things into your heart. And if you meditate on negative things get sown. And then familiar spirits just love to remind you. They love to agree with you and your thinking and promote the reactions and the responses. So there's a whole process there which we've looked at before several times. So when you look to deal with this, what can you do about it? Well, forgive and release. Own it. If you don't own that these things are in your heart, you'll never deal with them. Now, pride will stop us owning it, or fear will stop us owning it. Confess it. Confess it as, actually, this is sin. If I have unforgiveness in my heart, it's actually sin. Renounce it. I don't want it anymore. Repent. Turn from it. Meditate on the truth. Take those familiars to court. If they keep coming back with mindsets and thought thinking patterns and touching your minds and lying to you or trying to stir you, use positive things. Don't agree with them and say negative things. Because if you say negative things about yourself, you just reaffirm those things in your heart. Get a lie bust if you need deliverance. Ask someone to minister to you. We need healing. It's okay dealing with the negative things, but we need healing from the damage that's been done. So God will heal our hearts. He'll restore our hearts. Take communion. Communion is about reprogramming the things that are in our hearts with the truth, you know, and use that for transformation, to change our hearts to align with God's plan and God's purpose for us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we're being transformed into the same image, the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another. It's a process. It's not going to happen instantly. You're not going to deal with every single root or negative thing or memory in your heart overnight. It's a process of continually weeding the soil. It's like you can't change your soil instantly unless you go and get a whole load of new topsoil, which we haven't really got the opportunity of doing that in our heart. We have to deal with the soil we've got. But over a period of time, you can improve the soil. You can rake it regularly. You can get rid of the stones. You can dig it double dig, which means you dig a trench and then you go double dig, get down even deeper, break up the subsoil. There's lots of ways you can improve your soil. You can add fertilizer. You can add manure. You can add compost. You can add things which break up the clay. You can add sand to clay soil. There's lots of things you can do. It's a process, though. You know, every year, at the beginning and the end of the year, I add a whole load of manure to my garden. Because then during the year, the worms break it down and they get a good soil. Over the winter, the worms break it down and it produces good soil. So we need to see this as a process of change. The reason for this is so we can display God's glory. So we can actually be his manifest presence of God on the earth as he is in heaven. God wants us to be reflections of who he is. But we need to choose to embrace and pursue the process of change and maturity, or not. It's our choice. You don't have to become mature spiritually. You know, there are a lot of people who are physically mature who are very spiritually immature. You have a choice. You can choose to stay babies and toddlers and infants, but if you do, you won't inherit true sonship, because true sonship comes to the mature who God will entrust with the fullness of inheritance. God still loves you, but you won't come into the fullness of being able to rule and govern and to bring those life into the world and bring transformation. So our heart literally has senses just like our body. But the ears of our heart is our conscience. Those little voices on the inside that speak to us, whisper to us. You know, I don't know if you remember Tom and Jerry. He used to have the, you know, bad Tom on one shoulder and the good, you know, Jerry on the other shoulder, and a little halo and a pitchfork. And they're competing for one another, for negative and positive things. So we need our conscience programmed with the truth that will direct us in the right way. The eyes of our heart, our imagination, where we can begin to engage and see. The voice of our heart, our reason. It's good to reason together with God, to use his truth to be the foundation for our decisions and choices. Our heart has emotions and desires and a will. Our heart has a personality and a redemptive identity. Our heart thinks, has a mind that has a conscious, subconscious, and unconscious areas. Subconscious mind is where our memories are stored, Our mindsets, belief systems, worldviews, values are programmed. That's really what the soil of the heart is, the subconscious mind. The garden of our heart is where the subconscious and the conscious mind intersect and connect. You don't think in your mind until it gets triggered from your heart. So your subconscious, where all the things are programmed, will trigger what you think in your conscious mind. It's like in a computer, the subconscious mind is like the hard drive that has all the programs stored. When you click on the icon, it loads those programs into the random access memory of the computer, and then they run. So the things that are stored in our heart often are triggered by things that happen to us, and they come into our mind, and immediately we're thinking a particular way because those things are stored there. Our heart is created to be a place where our spirit and soul connect. It's always been God's desire that we would be one, a living being, becoming a godlike being as sons. It's where a secret place of intimacy with God can be cultivated. We can cultivate a place in our hearts which has intimacy with the Father, which brings that sonship into us. It's a place where those green pastures and quiet waters and the river of life flows, where the table is set before us, as described in Psalm 23, where we can feast on the truth that he puts there for us to eat. Our heart, our spirit, are really our inner world. Our heart connects with the outer physical world through our physical senses of our body. And if we only interpret through our physical senses from outside in, then we will be picking up the things that the world is showing us. If we interpret the physical things of the world from a God perspective flowing from the inside, then we see things in a completely different manner. Our heart connects with the heavenly realm so that that flows through us. So our heart is connected by the spirit, by the river of life. That's what brings life. It's that living water that flows from within. The river of life was flowing out of Eden, God's heavenly garden, flowing into Adam's earthly garden, and then was supposed to flow out into the world. It didn't stagnate there and die like the River Jordan does. The River Jordan flows into the Dead Sea and goes nowhere, and it is dead because it doesn't flow. Anything that stagnates will produce negative things. It has to be flowing. Therefore, freely we've received from God, freely give. Flow out into the world. That was always God's intention, for heaven to flow into the earth and to bring fruitfulness to the whole earth, not just a little garden. So the river of life flowed out and divided into four rivers that watered the whole earth. Our heart is where our spirit is joined. Where springs and rivers describe the Holy Spirit and our spirit flowing together. That's really what the fountain of life, when we drink that fountain, it becomes a river and we're part of that river. So the spring and fountain of John 4 is within our spirit. It becomes the rivers, which are described in John 7, flowing from our innermost being through the soul out into the world. That's the whole purpose of this. You know, if it's just about me and all about me, then we miss the point. Relationship with God is wonderful and intimate, and it's an amazing thing to have, but we need to give it away. We need to show others what that relationship's about. So Adam's physical garden is now equated to our heart's garden. We're still responsible to tend and cultivate it. Just as Adam was, we are responsible. We can't just leave it and expect it to be fruitful. We have to look after it. So those four rivers flow to four physical areas. We now have the four chambers of our heart, which are representing those four places of intimacy, restoration, and connection with God. They're all about connecting with the river of life. That's what flows. The river of life is connected with the tree of life, which is a source of life from heaven, and God wants us to have that flowing in us. So our garden is cultivated and creative and looks great and feels great and tastes great, and everything in there is full of life rather than death. So my spirit is joined to the Lord in first love. I become one spirit with him, and then that flows into my soul. That brings spiritual life, guidance, direction, power, restoration to my soul because it flows from life itself. It brings agreement and cooperation and unity and unison and oneness. We don't want our soul and spirit squabbling with each other for control. We don't want flesh and spirit arguing. We want life that flows in unity. Unity brings blessing. Unity releases the power and anointing of God. So the more open my spiritual gates are and the gates of my soul, the more depth there is to the river, and the more powerful the flow of that river is. So if our gates are only just open, then there isn't going to be much of depth and there's not going to be much flow. Ezekiel 47 talks about a river flowing from a house. Now we are that house. We're the house of God. God dwells in us. We are a gateway and a channel for that river to flow, or not. So it starts with a trickle. In Ezekiel 47, it says a trickle came under the threshold. It becomes ankle deep like a rivulet. It continues to become knee deep like a stream. It increases, its flow becomes waist deep like a tributary, but eventually it needs to become out of depth like a river in flood. So then that can flow out to the world. And it says in Ezekiel 47, that produces life wherever it goes. It can turn salt water fresh. It can bring life to the world if it's flowing through us. Now that river has a wavelength, a frequency. It creates a spiritual atmosphere, a vibrational frequency of love and joy and peace and power around us that can actually touch people's lives. People can sense it and feel it. Such was that coming through Peter, his shadow healed somebody. So they were in his atmosphere and that brought healing to them. Now it's quite possible that we can create the same things. And it doesn't just stop with this little bubble around us. It's supposed to expand and flow outwards. So that spiritual atmosphere can extend and cover all the spheres of influence we have in authority on the earth, as it is in heaven. It's not designed to be stuck within us. It's supposed to expand and grow and bring the glory of God and bring the life of God and to bring the rule of God into those areas of our lives that we're responsible for. And that can grow and expand to wider and wider places to fill the earth. Ultimately, some people have a destiny to touch the whole earth. Some people will touch their family. Some people will touch their area or their region or their nation. But we all have a destiny for that river of life and that atmosphere that we create to flow from the inside of us to bring the rule of God, to bring fruitfulness, to bring blessing around us. So we had this picture. Spirit, the breath of life, like our lungs, picks up oxygen, goes into the heart, it pumps out to our mind, to our body. Then the mind and body run out of oxygen, so they draw back from the lungs by sending the blood back to the heart, that it pumps it back to the lungs, and then the whole cycle goes on and on and on. So the spirit, the breath of life, is supposed to touch our mind and our body. And the mind and body should be always drawing from our spirit, from the breath of life, not from the outside. So that's where real life comes from. And God wants to see this established around us. So literally, our blood flows through our heart, physically carrying oxygen to our body. The brain cannot survive without oxygen for a few minutes. So that blood is actually programmed from what is sown into the heart. What is spiritually in our hearts actually have power to affect our physical body, our mind, so to reprogram our thinking and to reprogram the cells of our body because they carry eternal life. That's what communion does. When we're taking communion, we're looking to sow that into our hearts to touch the whole of our lives with that life. Proverbs 23:7. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So you are a sum total of what you're thinking about. Now, scientifically and quantum physically, we can prove that's true because we have the power to create our own reality by our observation and our attitudes and thinking. But it goes on to show this. When they did scientific studies of the mind, they were anticipating that they would see a lot of electromagnetic energy around the brain, because that's where all the thinking goes on. Well, actually, it's 10 times more stronger around the heart than it is around the brain. And the brain, you can pick up activity about 10 to 12 inches away. from the heart, you can pick it up to sort of 10 feet away. So there's a lot more thinking that goes on in the heart that actually affects that atmosphere around us. So we need to make sure what we're thinking about and what's in our heart is good. So the blood literally can reprogram our conscious mind and the cells of our body with what's stored in our hearts. Good or not good. If we have eternal life stored in our hearts, then we don't need to die. If we have lies and we believe those lies in our hearts, then it will produce death in us one way or another. So God wants to bring a restoration of life. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. We need to guard our hearts, be deliberate about what's stored there. God wants to restore our hearts and heal our hearts. He wants us to have a heart that's filled with good soil and are fruitful. So I want to do an exercise around this. And again, we're just going to open our first love gate. But when we come to the area where we're engaging within the garden of our heart, I want you to use this as something which you then can do over and over again. You know, you're not going to get answers to every question that we pose here or every statement that we make. It's an illustration of what you can do daily with your own life and in your own heart so that you can actually find out what's in there and then have it restored, repaired, renewed, deal with the soil and everything else. So we're going to just start off by just meditating in this to engage it. Then I'm going to make some statements, which I just want you to think about and then use later. And then we'll just go into an engagement with the garden in Jesus. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. So close your eyes. Just start to activate your imagination, the eyes of your heart, by thinking about that doorway. Just start to think about the door. Picture the door in your mind. That door of first love within your spirit. The handle to that door is on your side. Picture the handle. And picture yourself, by faith, just reaching out and opening the door that Jesus is knocking on, that Jesus wants to come in, that the Father wants to come in, that the Holy Spirit wants to flow. And as you open that door, just picture that fountain of life, that water, that river just beginning to flow and trickle into your spirit as it starts to get deeper, knee deep, perhaps ankle deep. You can drink it, you can lie in it, let it just flow around you as God's presence just comes around you. Just invite that river of his presence to flow into the garden of your heart, to flow through the gateways of your spirit. A life-giving river just flowing to come into the garden of your heart, just cascading down into your garden. Just let the Father take you by the hand and walk with you into that garden, to stand with you into the garden of your heart. Father, we just thank you that you've made a way for us to access your presence within us. By faith, we just stand with you. We stand with you in the garden of our hearts. We just submit to your authority, the living word, your breath within us right now. We submit to your life. We just stand with you in the light of your truth. I ask you to search our hearts, Just reveal to me my blind self. Show me the hidden motives of my heart. Put me on trial to reveal the thoughts and intentions of my heart. Show me the areas where my heart may be sick, where it may be damaged because of disappointments, having been let down or betrayed by people. Show me where this is projected onto you, so I don't trust you. Show me where I've rebelled against you and have created a hard, stubborn heart, protecting myself. Show me where I've allowed doubt and unbelief to harden my heart. I stand with you, Father, in the light of your truth, and I ask you to search me. Reveal any stones and negative memories within the soil of my heart. Show me any trauma in my life through abuse or accidents or stress or distress or fear or poverty, natural disasters, any trauma. Show me where I've been wounded and scarred by rejection, betrayal of my trust, abandonment, neglect, violence, exploitation. Show me where this has scarred my image, my esteem, my value, my worth. Show me where I've believed lies as the truth and have become a victim. Father, I repent for allowing these stones, these memories, to stay in the soil of my heart. I choose to forgive and release all those contributory offenses in my life and in my generational line that may be affecting me now. I stand with you in the light of your truth. I ask you, put me on trial. Reveal any anxious ways in me. Reveal any weeds, any cares of life, any unmet needs. Show me where I fail to trust you, where I fail to seek you to meet the needs of my heart. Show me where I'm anxious, worried, concerned, fretting, restless and insecure. Show me where I'm not trusting you. Show me where I have rational and irrational fears lodged in my heart that choke out your life. Show me where I have allowed fear to rob me of hope, faith, and abundance. Show me where I have allowed wicked ways, substitutes, and idols to occupy areas of my heart. Show me where I've sacrificed to those idols. Put them before you, Father. Show me where I've not sought first your kingdom. I repent for allowing weeds and cares of life to stay in the soil of my heart. I repent for giving room to idols in my heart. I choose to forgive and release all those contributory offenses in my life and in the generational line. I stand with you, Father, in the light of your truth. Show me the seeds of offense and sin that have taken root in my heart. I repent for allowing those seeds to take root. I choose to forgive and release all those offenses in my life and in my generational line. Show me all roots of bitterness that have grown in my heart. I commit myself to a lifestyle of repentance against all those negative roots. I repent of all negative emotions and attitudes that may be rooted in my heart. Show me all the fruits of resentment that have developed in my behaviors. I commit myself to a lifestyle of renunciation against all those negative behaviors. I don't want to live that way. I renounce any defense mechanisms and coping mechanisms. I renounce any sin in my life that's become a way and a habit. Give me revelation of my true identity as a son of God. Give me a heart secure in its identity. Renew my mind to the mind of Christ. Meet all my unmet needs in yourself. heal all my unhealed hurts, restore my soul. I receive your unconditional love, unconditional acceptance and affirmation and approval. I stand transparent, naked before you, unafraid. I hear you, I see you, I love you. As you speak to me, Laka, I want you for my own. I receive your value and esteem and worth. I choose to live a lifestyle of forgiveness, repentance, and renunciation. I choose to walk in your ways, the ways of your kingdom. Choose to be a channel to manifest your glory through me on the earth as it is in heaven. So I will fulfill my eternal destiny. So what I encourage you to do is to take some of those things every day and to ask God the questions, to reflect, allow him to show you any of those things in your heart, and just enter into that process where he begins to restore you, make you whole, bring healing and health, where you can then begin to cultivate good fruit in good soil because you've looked after your heart, which will then program how you live, how you feel, how you think. Everything flowing from the inside out. You know, you won't be able to do all that in one go. I've just given you all the things that you can pray, all the things you can do. But when you do it, in faith, stand with the Father and in relationship, allow him to speak. Listen to him. And if you need help, then ask someone to stand with you. Sometimes it's good to have someone help us when we can't hear well for ourselves. You know, that's where lie busting is a really good tool, where we can ask for help, hear God.